Mishnah Yom is for Thursday, the 22nd day of Shvat, Tovshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Ksuvos, Perek Shmini, Mishnah Vav. The properties of a married woman divided into two types. There's Nichsei Milug. These are properties that she brings in from her father's house but are not written in the Ksuvah. This also covers properties that she gets as a Yerusha or as a gift after marriage. These properties are hers. The husband can only eat the fruits. He cannot sell them, trade with them. He's not responsible to guarantee their value. They are called Nichse Milug. The word Milug means to pluck in Aramaic. It's like he's plucking feathers. He can eat from the fruits, but he's not responsible for the Karen, for the value of the land itself. And then there are properties which are called Nichsei Tzon Barzel. They're firm. They're called Barzel. They're like iron. There's like an ironclad guarantee. He has to guarantee the value of these assets. These are properties that are written in the Ksuba as part of the dowry. And these properties, the husband has more rights, but more responsibility. He has the right to sell, to trade, to make profit. But whatever the case is, the Karen has to be preserved. If there's losses involved, he's obliged to make up the losses. What happens when a woman's husband dies without children and now she's waiting for the Yavam? Who gets the properties? There are two different interests here. There are the interests of her family, her father, for example, or when her father dies, it may be her brothers. And then there are interests of her husband's brother, the Yavam. And that we're going to learn in our Mishnah, what property, that there's different rights attached to different to these two different segments. And a machlokes with this. Shemeres Yavam, Mishnah Vav. What happens to a woman who's waiting for the Yavam to perform the levirate marriage to marry him? And while she's waiting, Shenoflo Nechosim, she became into the possession of assets as a Yerusha or a gift. What happens to these assets? Moedim Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Shemacheres V'Nesenes V'Kayom. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree that she's allowed to sell these properties, give them away, and her transactions are valid and nothing can be done about them. And the Mishnah says this, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agreement, because they did argue about an Arusa. Arusa means a woman who's had Kiddushin, who then gets in possession of properties. And there is a machlokes. Beis Shammai held that she can sell it and she's entitled, but Beis Hillel holds she cannot sell it. And if she does, it's not valid. But however, here we're talking about a Shemeres Yavam. A Shemeres Yavam, she's waiting for the Yavam to perform the levirate marriage. She got nechosim, she got properties from the estate. And here, everybody, even Beis Hillel, agree that she can sell it and give it away. And the reason is because she is waiting for the Yavam, but there's no guarantee that he will marry her. He might give a chalitza. So there's not a strong tie yet for him with him. And to allow him to take to stop her selling, unlike the Arusa where she's already an Eshes Ish, she's already had Kiddushin, so that's where Beis Hillel say she cannot sell. In our Mishnah, she can. She's only Shomeres Yavam. Mesa, what happens when she dies as a Shomeres Yavam? So she didn't even get the possessions yet. She died. Now what happens? Mayasu Buksubasa. What do we do with her ksuba? That's the main ksuba. That's the 200 dinar that Basila gets. And about the extras that are written. And the nechosim of Tzona Barzel, these ones that are registered in the ksuba, the ones that the husband has to guarantee them. What happens to that? Uvi nechosim hanichnosim v'yotzinima. And what happens to the properties that come into the marriage and go out of the marriage with her, i.e. nichse milug. These are the properties that he only has the rights, the husband only has the rights of plucking, of having the fruits. Who's Yorush, these two classes of assets? Beis Shammai Emrim, Yachloka Yorushe HaBal Im Yorushe HaAv. Shammai say, you divide all the properties whether they are nichsets in Basel or nichsets miluk, you divide them all between equally between the Yorshei HaBal. Yorshei HaBal, according to most Mepharshim, is the Yovam himself. That's the brother of the deceased husband, the Yovam. He has a sofik if he has if he's considered like a fully married to her, is a sofik nesua. She the Yavama is considered a sofik nesua, a sofik of married, and therefore, and we know if she's considered connected to him, then husband is Yorush's wife, so the Yavam gets half of it, and the Yorshei Ha'av means the Yorshim of her father, which would be her father if he's alive, because the father is if he dies, her brothers will get the other half. That's how Beis Shammai learned, divided equally between the two conflicting parties, if you like. Or Beis Hillel Eimer Beis Hillel say nechosim becheskosam. They say that the nechosim will stay where they are, meaning the nichsei tzonu barzel, those properties which there is an ironclad guarantee over them, they are under the possession, if you like, of the woman. They're hers. They will stay under the chazaka of the Yorshei Ha'av, but there's also under the chazaka of the Yorshei Ha'bal. They're also under the chazaka of the heirs of the husband, because the achrayus, the responsibility of these nechosim, is for the husband. So he has those rights and privileges or responsibilities. So therefore, it's considered a bit like his. And yet at the same time, it's a bit like hers, because she has the ironclad guarantee over them, that he has to guarantee the value. So there, Beis Shahil say, yes, we agree to Beis Shammai on those properties, they're divided equally. However, the Ksuba, continues the Mishnah, the main part of the Ksuba, the 200 dinar for a Besula, and the extras that are written into the Ksuba, that is Becheskes Yorshei HaBal. That will go to the heirs of the husband, i.e. to the Yavam. Why? Because that was the husband's responsibility over those things. He has to guarantee the ksuba. He has to guarantee the extras, the extra money put into the ksuba, that has to be paid. However, nechosim ha-nechnosim v'yotzim ima, those properties that she brought into the marriage that are not registered in the ksuba, that the husband only has the fruits of them, becheskes Yorshei HaAv, are kept with her, i.e. with her relatives, with her father, or if her father dies, with the Yorshim of the other. And that is because they're considered under her rishus, and the Baal is not, the husband is not chayiv to be responsible for their value. This is how we learn the Mishnah. There is another way of learning the Mishnah, slightly different from that Tosfos chooses, and that is to learn the Mishnah that nechosim and becheskosam is not talking about the nechosim yet, that's the headline. Nechosim becheskosam means that the properties will remain under their chazaka, and then the Mishnah goes on to say, how will that be split? The ksuba becheskes Yorshei HaBal, and that would include also tzon barzel, that goes only to the husband, and the nechosim, which are going in and out, the nichsim lug, go to the Yorshei Ha'av, go to the brothers, her brothers, in other words, the heirs of her father. According to this way of learning the Mishnah, there is no split at all among the properties. And according to Beis Hillel, it's all of these, the ksuba, the nichsets and the barzel, that all goes to the husband's heir, which in this case is the Yavam. And the other properties, nechsim lug, all go to her heirs, or to the Yorshim of the father, her brothers, that will go to her. That's how Tosfos learns, as I said, a bit different to what we've been learning just before. Mishnah Zayin. The Mishnah continues to discuss this case of Shemeres Yavam, the woman who's waiting for her deceased husband's brother to perform the levirate marriage. And it's going to teach us here that all the properties of the deceased husband are mortgaged to the ksuba. And the Yavam, who is her Yorush, who is his Yorush, is not permitted to sell these properties. Hiniach Ochiv Mois. if his brother left him or left money, left cash around, the brother of the other, the deceased brother, as a Yerusha, he left him money. What do you do with it? You take the cash and you invest it in real estate, says the Mishnah. Yilokach ben karka v'oichel peres. And then the Yavam will simply eat the fruits of that. And the reason is because all the properties of his deceased brother are mortgaged to the payment of the ksuba. They have to be reserved for payment of ksuba. And the Yavam simply eats the fruits of these properties. He cannot take the cash out and spend it in what he wants. You buy land, and that land will be mushubit, will be mortgaged, there'll be a lien on it for the ksuba, and he eats the fruits. Same thing if the brother left peiros hatlushin min hakarka. Let's say there's a whole lot of fruits that have been harvested, and they're waiting now to sell or to eat. The yavam cannot eat these fruits. You lock up in karka, sell them, sell the fruits, invest the proceeds of selling to land, and that again will become keren, will become the principal reserved for guaranteeing the ksuba and the hu'echel peres, and he'll only eat the fruits of the land which was bought with the proceeds of sale of the fruits. Ha'mechuborin bakarka. What about his brother left fruits that are still growing, connected to the ground? He left karka, he left land and fruits attached to them. Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, Shominoison, we calculate what are the properties worth. Kamein yotin beperes. How much they're worth with the harvest, with the fruits on them. Bechamein yotin beperes. How much would this real estate be worth without the fruits? Bechamoisar, and the difference. Yelokech ben karka. You buy karka with it. You buy real estate with it. Vechol peres, and he eats the fruits of it. Why? Because in other words, really, all the fruits on that land grew in the reshus. They grew under the reshus of the deceased husband. His deceased brother, and therefore they also are mortgaged for the ksuba. And the yavam can only eat the fruits that grow whilst he has been married to the widow of his brother. That's Rav Meir. But Chachamim say a little bit different. Peiros hamechuborim bakarka, if the fruits are attached to the ground, shelo. Now, it says in the Mishnah Shelo, but the Gemara says it's a mistake, it should be Shelo. Fruits that are attached to the ground, Rabbi the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Meir. They're hers. These fruits are guaranteed for the Ksuba. He cannot eat the fruits. You sell them, buy land, and once again, the Yavam will eat only the fruits from that newly bought land. Hatlushin min hakarka, but those fruits which have already been cut up and already detached from the ground, that... Whereas Rabbi Meir said that those things that you have to invest that into land as well, and he only gets the fruits, the basically disagree. They say kol hakodem zochavan, first come, first served. The Chachamim basically say that fruits that are tlushim, these are chattels, these are metatlim, fruits that have been cut already, and they're not mortgaged for the ksuba, and therefore kodem hu zochav. If he comes first, if the Yavam grabs the fruits first, he can do with them as he likes. He can eat them and he can sell them, whatever he wants. You don't have to invest them into land. Kodmahi, but if she grabs it first, while her husband was alive, for example, then Yilokach ben Karka, you must, they will be used. Sell them and use the proceeds to buy land. Vechol peres, and he will just eat the fruits of that land. Why? Because since she grabbed them while her husband was still alive, they become meshubed. They become, there's a lien on them for the ksuba, and they have to be used that way. You buy land with those value of those fruits, the proceeds of sale, and he eats the fruits. It's basically first come, first served. That's how the chachamim will obey. That's how base the chachamim paskin regarding fruits that have already been cut from the ground. The same law will apply to cash. If there was any cash left. Again, the same argument would apply. The Chachamim hold, kol hakodem zocher, the first come, first served. It's just that the ratio, the beginning of the mission, is all Rabbi Meir, who holds that cash and metaltalin are all mortgaged for the ksuba, and therefore the same treatment. You must sell them, invest them in real estate, and use the proceeds, and then he can only have the fruits from that land. Who's the lacha like? The halach is like the Chachamim. Chattels are not mortgaged to the ksuba, and the yavam can do with them as he pleases. Knosa. What happens once the yavam actually marries her? He does the mitzvah of yibum. He performs levirate marriage. And he takes the widow of his deceased brother as a wife. This is, of course, where there's no children. That's the mitzvah of yibum. Hari hiki ishtel choldavar. Says the Mishnah, she becomes his wife in all respects. If he wants to divorce her, he needs to give her a get. She does not need chalitza. And he's also allowed to remarry her, providing she doesn't marry someone else in between, after he divorces her. Now, this is interesting because if he gave her chalitza and then changed his mind, he can't take her back again. But once he's done yibum, and then he divorces her, she's no longer under the isra of eshesach. The isra of a wife of a brother is completely lifted once he does yibum. And then she's his wife. He can divorce her. He can remarry her if she hasn't been married in between, like any case of a marriage. Uvilvad, but there is one thing different that the Yavoma has once she's married from other wives, and that is that normally a husband has to make a new ksuba. Shetaheik subasa al nichsa bal rishon, that the properties of her deceased husband will be the assets that are mortgaged for the ksuba, not the properties of the yavam. However, the Gemara adds and qualifies this and says that if the first husband left no assets, then the Chachamim said, well, the yavam, the brother-in-law who marries her, has to provide a ksuba himself.